Ready to wander Middle-earth? Join me, Aaron, your guide to the world and works of J.R.R. Tolkien. On the Lore of the Rings podcast, we explore Tolkien's epic stories, from The Lord of the Rings to The Silmarillion and more, uncovering the deep lore, breathtaking tales, and timeless inspiration behind them. Whether you're a fan of the movies, new to the books, or rediscovering them after years, Lore of the Rings is your perfect companion. Ever wonder about the history of the One Ring, or what secrets lie within the stories of The Hobbit? Or maybe you're curious about the legends that inspired Amazon's Rings of Power, or the War of the Rohirrim movie? We explore it all with simple explanations and a sense of awe that honors Tolkien's brilliance. So let's wander together, because as Tolkien reminds us, not all those who wander are lost. Visit ringspodcast.com to pick your favorite podcast player and start your journey into Middle-earth. That's ringspodcast.com to find the Lore of the Rings podcast. Let's wander together in the world of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Hello, Nomads, and welcome to the Nomads of Fantasy podcast, episode 143. Wow, it's a lot of episodes. Joining me, as always, I have Brandon.
I killed four of yours. You killed 40 of my family.
Oh, chills. And I also have Dave.
Welcome, passengers. Please prepare for departure. We hope you have a safe, pleasant, and delightful journey ahead. Thank you.
Aww.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So you probably don't know what these quotes are from.
No. From the generic name of a movie? You don't know?
Oh, yeah. this is a movie that came out last year, 2023.
That's it 2 years ago.
2025 there, guy.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Time's slipping away.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. It came out 2 years ago in 2023. It's a Hindi language film from across the pond in India. So we are going back to the deep well of Indian movies. We picked a more recent one that came out 2 years ago. I don't know what time is anymore, but it's called Kill.
Kill. Yes.
Kill.
This is a recommendation from the Discord.
Kill. Yes.
Yeah, somebody Discord. Recommended this from our Discord. That's correct. That's right. I forgot about
that. nomadsoffantasy.com/Discord.
Thank you.
Specifically.
Probably our most active place if you're going to get a hold. We are on there all day, every day. Yes. I would say it's a fairly small but active group. Very open. People come in, just drop stuff. And yeah, we have somebody that
Everyone's
passively
cool.
listens to us. But once in a while, I think they must be from India themselves. And they, because we've just had like RRR and Bahubali and stuff, like some big hits from India and so forth. That audience has found our podcast. And yeah, somebody came in and dropped that off for us. So here we are. I mean, I think Jailer was the last one that was recommended to us.
Mm-hmm.
And now
we watched Jailer. And now, yes. And now Kill.
Kill.
I knew nothing about this movie going in. I don't know about you guys if you looked anything up.
I think I read like the Wikipedia synopsis of it, and it sounded like, oh, it's like an Indian Speed or John Wick on a train or something like that. I'm like, all right, sounds cool.
Yeah, it's very simple premise, but I like sort of saw a little bit of the trailer before I watched it, and then I'm like, okay. Let's just fucking go for a ride with this one. And a ride it is indeed.
That's all it is.
Specifically
it is a ride.
Train ride. Just right off the bat. Well, actually, before we get into impressions, I'll just give a quick plot summary, quick synopsis, because it is very quick. We have a main character. His name is Amrit Rathod, I believe is his name.
That sounds about right.
Sorry, apologies if we botch the Indian names.
We'll be a lot of that.
We will, for sure. Him and his bro over there, Viresh, are both commandos in the Indian army. And basically, Rathod's girl, Talika, is getting engaged in arranged marriage.
I think they call her Tully, right? As a nickname, yeah, right? And so we might say Tully.
Tully is her, her nickname. But essentially, you know, he's deployed. He gets the call, arranged marriage. He's like, okay, shit, I got to go back and, you know, see her. Try to fucking, you know, because she doesn't want any part of this arranged marriage. She just wants to be with him. So this is all to say that they end up on a train and the train gets taken over by bandits and hilarity ensues. I mean, that's really the plot of
all these people are on the train. And that's I wrote down because, like, I'll be honest, the opening like few minutes is kind of like watching a made-for-TV soap opera of show.
Yes.
They really they really wanted you to kind of feel for their relationship, and I'm like, I'm fine with that.
100%.
But I was like, we don't start with an action scene where I was really expecting, like, he's a commando, he's a highly trained professional, and he's supposed to be really good at his job. So is there going to be an action scene? No, we just go right into how they love each other. But 12 minutes into it,
his bromance with his army commando.
Yeah, yes. I mean, and it's, I don't know, just the dialogue in the movie seemed a lot looser than a lot of Indian movies that we usually watch.
Yeah, like, it wasn't as epic and dramatic and slow motion.
Definitely, there's no Bollywood going on here. There's no dance numbers.
There's no songs, right, exactly.
There's just, it's like Indian John Wick on a train. That's how I kind of boiled it down to when I made my wife watch a little bit of it. Wife meter did not stay awake for this one.
I could see that. This is a bros
definitely,
bro movie, I feel.
Yes.
It's very action heavy focused.
If you like action only,
it's just nonstop. Nonstop, just fucking heart pounding, intense fight scenes, you know, in a small enclosed space, which is pretty cool.
They do get a lot of use.
The whole setting is on the train. Essentially, you know, like 90% of the movie's on a train. There's a little bit of time before. And then, the rest of the movie
95%
all train.
On a train. Yep. And I think that alone is why you should watch this movie. I was thinking about how, like, I like this because we've all been indoctrinated into that style of filmmaking. When we watched RRR, that was like the first time the nomads watched an Indian film all the way through, and we were blown away how fun it was. So then we watched other movies that director made before RRR, which is on Netflix. You should go watch it. And it's just so different from Western film or maybe movies that you would see from Germany or France or England. Just they have their own style. And singing and dancing is a big part of their filmmaking, which is why this one doesn't do that. I think that would be a good selling point for somebody. If like, can I really watch this? Can I really watch an Indian movie? I would say you can. And this could be an easy one to get into because it's 100%. Dudes with facial hair, mustaches, beards, fighting each other. And the action is good. You're thinking, well, no, surely they can't film action as good as Americans. No, they definitely can. There are things that happen in the third act of this movie. That was just this is just
crazy,
like watching
fucking scenes.
Wick. And I will say one more thing before, if you guys want to kind of go into like your reaction to it, but it's just, this movie really is like, there's a dial going on. I just feel like there's a dial going on where usually a movie will have a big thing happen that really makes you want to get our character to revenge. It doesn't follow a Western format when it comes to an action movie. It really is just kind of cranking it up little by little, kind of like a video game where like the stakes only get higher and higher and higher. Right. And it's not like, oh, this is the part where like he loses and then he's got to fight his way back at the very end. Like almost every movie does that. This movie has its ups and downs, but I'm constantly feeling like our guy is only getting stronger because of the things they do to him. This guy is a superhero by the time this movie, I mean, he's a superhero, but by the time this movie is over, like he should be dead. But he's not. So I'll just say that. Just watch it if you like.
Well,
we can talk about interpretation at the end of this conversation. But Dave, I want to hear you because I know you have a fun with these Indian movies and seeing that this one doesn't have the singing and the dancing in it. And it really just gave
it was like just the action. Like, It was as close to a straightforward, like, American action movie as, like, you could possibly get. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's just a lot of, like, you know, knife fighting scenes, and there are some twists and turns. I won't get into spoilers yet.
We'll save a little bit for that.
Some shit happens in there where, like, like you said, it definitely is not the way that Western films are made, where, like, you know, some story beats that they may have hit or not hit, I guess. But I thought, yeah, it was definitely fun. And it was nice that it was only, what, hour 40? In time,
like the other Indian movies we've watched,
yeah, it's like half, like three hours long.
Yeah,
and this one's just crazy. I mean, it's like as straightforward as you can get. It's just a lot of action, a lot of stabbing and blood. If you're a little squeamish, mm-hmm. This is like gotta be probably the most violent Indian film ever made, I would assume.
It's gotta be up there,
unless you're thinking of like a horror movie. I don't know, but like there was some grotesque shit. They are not squeamish with the violence in this one.
I know. I was like, my wife was working on her computer in the other room, and I'm in the living room.
Just have this on in the background. What the fuck's going on in there?
I had a sound system on and subwoofer and all stuff. So all she can hear is Indian dudes kind of yelling at each other, and a lot of like the sound of punching, the sound of heads hitting metal, the sound of a knife
stabbing,
constantly that,
douching.
Yeah, and just like screaming and yelling, and I was just like, man, she must think like this is a very bizarre movie, but
yeah,
I'm literally little by little getting more and more on the edge of my seat because the action is getting more violent, and we can get to the more of the plot and like. You know, when we get into that, we can talk about some of the reasons why I was starting to act like that. But, about you, Eric? What were you thinking?
Yeah, general impressions for me. Like I said, I feel like I was similar when it first started. I went into this blind. I didn't know really what to expect. Started out a little bit slow, but obviously they had to set up the romance between
the song. You know, was so corny.
Totally, yeah.
I wrote that
every
down.
Time they're together.
It's like this acoustic.
Yeah, the music. Right. It did make it feel like soap opera-y, but like after they got onto the train, and like you realize that shit was about to go down. Like yeah, like you said, the intensity throughout the movie just started cranking up and up and up, and yeah, I was like by the end of the movie, I was like invested in. Same. A lot of these characters on both sides of, you know, good
I gotta,
and bad.
I gotta hear this.
I have some, I have some thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, I it was a great, great ride, great action flick. And it is very intense. Like, there's no real, like, breaks or anything throughout this movie.
No,
they
there
just
are
keep
none.
Fucking
they do maybe
ratcheting
like a
it up.
Brief one later on.
A quick
flashback shit, and then it's
there's
like
a flashback, yeah. But like, yeah, man, it's just they just crank it up throughout the entire movie. So yeah, it was hard to like turn away or like get bored because they didn't really give you time to do that. They just keep going. But I will say we could I don't know. We can go get into spoiler territory a little bit, but like,
yeah,
probably
watch
the greatest.
We're gonna get into it.
The greatest late title card in a movie ever.
I love it.
I wrote it down 45 minutes
so
into the movie.
So fucking awesome.
I noticed. I was like, oh, we're not so doing a title for this movie. Okay, and I forgot about it because it grabs you,
exactly.
Gets you on that
That's
train.
What's so good
and
about
it just gets more and more intense, and then the biggest thing happens in the movie. And you're like, oh, what the fuck? And then that title comes on. I'm like, I
because
love
now
that.
This is
that's
the
something like Tarantino
the switch,
would do.
That's the switch flipping, basically,
switch.
Where
that's
he's going from
switch.
He's going from non-lethal to fucking fully lethal.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Combat.
I love that.
Like before, he was
that
like
was really awesome. Cool.
He was being nice and just like cracking dude's skulls like Batman. But then like after,
right. Well, he even
after
says,
the title card,
he says to his friend like. Why did you when his friend right. There kills that first guy?
Oh yeah,
the dude's dad or whatever, one of the
uncle
bandit's dad or yeah. Well, they're all family, which is kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let's get into this real quick. Real quick. There are three groups in this movie. So we have the main hero, Amit, right? Mm-hmm. And then
Amit. Amrit.
Yeah, Amrit. Sorry, Amrit. And then his buddy, awesome buddy with the sweet sweater and mustache. What's
sweet
his name?
Sweet mustache, yeah.
Yeah, his name is Viresh.
Viresh. Okay, so those guys are their own group. They're together. They're calling each other bro. They've been with each other. They got each other's back. They are an awesome duo. Now, then there's Tully and her family, right? And there's like 5, 7, 8 of them on the train as well. Just happens to be on the train, which is fine. Yeah. And then there's
And it's
these...
important to note that her dad is like super...
He's a
like,
tycoon. He's loaded.
Yeah, business tycoon.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he... Right. But then there's also these guys, these... They're thieves.
The banditos.
They're called bandits. They just call themselves bandits.
They're descendants of thuggies or something like that.
Train robbers.
You know, but they're train robbers, right? And they're shaking it down, and then they discover, oh, shit, we got basically royalty wealth on here.
We hit the fucking jackpot.
So doesn't go down well. And it so you have these three, I want to call them factions, but these three groups, and they're all there for certain different reasons, but they kind of are our group. And when the thieves make the first move, they kill like the bodyguard of the tycoon, of the rich guy, that giant man, right? They killed him in the throat.
Yep.
So that's why the one commando kills like the uncle, because it's like blood is out. He's like he's in his switch is already activated. He's already in kill mode, and he went too far real quick. Instead of subduing and controlling it, he escalated, which is the opposite.
I mean, he's
and
not.
Our hero called
well,
him out
I feel
on
like it. When he made the first kill on that side of things, like he was. It was a different situation because that was more just like self-defense.
But looking at what he could do later on, like he has a lot of control over what he did. He went right into killing that guy.
But like,
I didn't have a problem with it. They started it.
No, like we were saying, and in the beginning of the movie, Amrit says like to him, like, "Hey, we didn't have to kill that guy. We could have just, tied him up and contained him."
Yeah.
So like he's all like for nonviolence, not trying to escalate the situation more than they have to, even though on their side they had already committed the first kill. So
right,
they get very for bandits. They get very like they're all family now, but like they are very emotional whenever they're. I don't know why they're so surprised that their people are getting killed, because you're robbing a train, like.
Yeah, but just because they're robbers,
somebody's going to die at some point. Yeah. Like you can't be shocked about that shit.
I just think they probably up to this point they were probably just used to like going on the train, getting all their shit, and getting out like with no casualties. Like nobody ever fought back. That's the impression that I get, anyways.
Right.
And then like this fucking crazy, they like oh shit, there's like special ops.
He is commando
dudes on this
commando.
Yeah. There's special ops fucking army dudes on this train. Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's like the cool part about it is that these bad guys, typically you don't like the guys who start it and start killing. Like you should not like them. But you do feel a little, and I wish maybe there's one point I would take away from this movie is like giving us a little bit more of why they're doing what they're doing. Give us just like a little bit more of what's their
way.
I thought that was coming. But it never did. It leaned into our hero and like his, his story and what he's trying to accomplish. And I just feel like, man, they really want us in the third act to really feel for these guys. And I kind of do through their acting, and that they are family.
Like when the
that sucks.
Right when he strings up all the bodies in that one train car, like they're just like mourning.
What a fucking cool scene.
I know. Like that scene for me was like. I did feel for them in that moment because, like, they are all family. So, and the cool thing is, like, if you compare
Hold on. We're talking about a scene that probably makes no significance to anybody listening here, but we're going to give it. Here's the big thing. We were talking about how our hero is trying not to escalate things, but the one guy on the other side was so, like, mad at that girl
Fonny.
Or whatever. I don't know. He had a power.
Yeah, Fonny.
Fonny, yeah, that guy. He was a good villain.
Good villain, great villain, but he kills her because she's trying to defend herself and he won't let it go. So he kills her knowing how powerful this guy and how it's gonna, it's just a
dumb move. He doesn't know that he's gonna snap like that. Like, I guess they fought a little bit, but.
But he kills her in a very brutal way, and that's what triggers our hero. And that's when when she's killed and thrown off the train, that's when the title comes. And that's when our guy becomes the villain almost, because he's not just killing these guys. He's mentally ruining their lives. He's just like, I'm going to string them up so you see what I've done. And he's going against, this is one guy against 30 plus guys. So.
Right. And yeah, like you said, back to what I was going to say about that scene. Cause yeah, there's the one scene in the movie where he kills a bunch of their dudes, and he takes their bodies and strings them up by like bed sheets in one of the train cars. And then, you know, the other bandits come in and see all this stuff. And
brothers,
then,
cousins, you know, dads, uncles to them.
Right. Exactly. And they're, you know, they're fucking so distraught over it. Which I thought was very cool. And so I was going to say before, was that like in any other action movie, like your John Wicks or your Die Hard,
just a bad guy,
whatever, the bad guys they're killing are just fucking random grunts. But like everybody, all the bandits have like names, right? You know, names associated with them and relationships with other bandits. Like, this is this person's dad. This is this person's uncle. This is their son. Like, so like that makes it much more impactful especially when that scene hits, and they're all like, you know, they're all mourning the death of their family members.
It's great.
So like it did make me feel for them. And it was a smart way to get you to sort of empathize with the villains in this movie a little bit. Even though they were doing some shitty stuff. Yeah.
Oh, they are the bad guys, but it's just nice to see that they are humans still. And even they, because like you, I mean, I'm not saying like we got to defend the bad guys in the world or in movies or anything like that. But just imagine seeing a scene where like a stormtrooper, we almost got that with the new Star Wars movies where Finn held another stormtrooper. Like, this is a guy that I've been training with. Like, this is a guy I joked around with at lunch, and he's dying in front of me. Just seeing, like, yeah, these are stormtroopers. They're not good guys at all. They work for the Empire. They do bad things, but they still feel, and it's a nice touch. I think this movie did a great job, and I would like to see that more in movies. Quite honestly,
everybody's the bad guy in somebody else's story.
That's the problem with the world today, is that we just think, oh, they're bad. They're all bad. They suck. They all suck.
Well,
that's not how the thing is. It's like they have feelings. There's gray. Yeah. This has because like some of those guys are just like for the ride. That one guy is crazy, and they're all just like, we should stop doing this. Let's leave now. He ended up like, no, let's keep fighting until they all die.
Right. So like, Fanny, whatever you want to call him, his dad was like the ringleader of this whole group, essentially, and it's interesting from that perspective because you can tell like. They've been doing this for a long time. It's essentially like the family business. So like, this is how they get by. This is what they do. So like, I think it would have been better and I could empathize with them more if they had like a code of like saying like, okay, we don't kill anyone. We just go in and fucking, you know, get the shit and get out. But that wasn't really the case. They kind of were all like just flipping
there's nothing
about,
redeemable about them.
Stabbing people.
Fanny is that one scene that dude's an asshole.
Like psychopath. The kid with the car. Nice to the kid. Oh, so later on when he sees the kid, what does he do? I'll kill this fucking kid. Like, dude, like this is your chance to show that like, oh, I have a kid too. I know what it's like to fight for things that you love. You know, sometimes we're just on the wrong side of the fight. Okay, now I could, but instead, you know, they could have shown a flashback of him with being a dad himself.
The commentary about who's the actual villain would have been stronger too.
Exactly,
if the villains were more redeemable. You know. So.
Yep. Right. Exactly. And I thought it was coming for the most part. I was like, because it's so important that because some of these guys, literally, there's like 40 villains, and some of these guys are like know that their dad might be dead. And the thing is, it was cool is because it's on a train, in the very back are the bad guys, in the very front middle are the good guys. And they've separated everybody, but some of them still have good people with the bad guys as hostage and stuff like that. So there's a big mix, but every time the bad guys go in to like take him out or take people or take over, they get their own guys kind of separated. And he'll send one alive back to threaten them to communicate. you know, like, stop, you know, whatever, all the stuff. And
tell them I'm like, coming for her.
Yeah, and I'm coming for them and shit like that. But they're like, is my dad? Where's my dad? You know, so a lot of these guys throughout the whole movie are trying to just get to their dads. And when they do find them, they're dead. And yeah, it kind of falls a little flat because, like, they could have done a little more for us to just feel for, like, I was hoping that this movie would turn out where this guy's, like, the main hero is actually a bad guy. And I was trying to, to train my brain to watch these guys be the good guys, actually. And it never happened because the way the story goes is like, oh, no, they are just the bad guys. And he is the good guy, you know?
Right.
So how about the other action scenes? Let me hear you guys, some of your guys' favorite kills that happened in this
I was
going to
say, best. There's some awards that I want to give out for this
I want to hear them. They're probably, like, the same as I wrote down.
Best kill, Brandon, you mentioned best facial hair in the Discord. Just best bandit overall. Best bromance, because there's a couple of them. But best kill, definitely. There's a ton to talk about here. I mean, there's some brutal ones.
Yeah,
when he's fucking smashing the dude's head in with the... fire extinguisher. Oh, he sticks the fire extinguisher in the dude's mouth and chokes him with the fucking...
Yes.
That's fucked up.
The one guy with the Zippo fuel puts the Zippo fuel in his mouth and sets his head on fire.
That was the dad. Right. That was the leader.
That one was pretty bad.
That was pretty... The one guy got, like, his throat... They kind of did this in the dark, but, like, he basically cut his whole head.
He was like half
his
decapitated. Head was
and then
off,
he left
yes.
him for the one guy to come around. He's like, oh, and then he kills that guy. Dude. And, those were really good ones. Yeah, the fire extinguisher was really gross. I was like, I could not imagine being in that position right now. That's just
like there's a lot of grabbing onto handrails and like jumping up and kicking dudes like across the way.
Right.
You know, just like
just cool. They use the small tight space really
I wrote
well.
That down
they,
too.
Like,
tight
and you can
space,
see with the
you can never
the way
go
that
wrong
they,
with high action tight spaces.
Well, they flip the camera angles a lot too, because you know you'll see it from like the side of it, and then you'll see it from the hall, and then you'll see like the choreography in this one was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, definitely took some inspiration from what the fuck is it? Oh, why can't I think of the movie now? The one with the hallway scene. Why I'm blanking on the name of the
old
movie
boy.
We watched it. Old boy,
oh,
yes.
Old boy.
Why I couldn't think of old boy, but
they didn't
I mean,
have that exact shot, but
right. But there was some, like Dave, you were saying those, like from the side angle, him going down those narrow hallways and just fucking taking out a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, those were cool. Anytime the camera was out of the train and we're trying to follow them along from cart to cart, I thought that was really cool.
Like
too.
Through the windows.
Yeah, I thought, really cool. I just love a good shot, you know, because like they can't all be inside the train. So I like when we leave it, but we're still at the train, you know? So I thought that was...
Mm-hmm. And like for such a small space, you got to come up with interesting camera angles and interesting... You can't just fucking see down a train car the whole movie. So yeah, they definitely did some cool camera work.
Oh, I was thinking of not the kills, but there's a certain tension. I don't know. You don't get a lot of movies on trains these days. But there's that like Snowpiercer kind of thing where they have like, you know, the rich people up front.
Yeah, it was
a
weird movie.
It's
worth watching just because
this might tail into the game that I have set up for us later. But just movies with trains in them.
Okay. All right.
I do like it. There's that tension, though, because you got like the bad guys on one train and the good guys on the other side. And you know that there's like with the train, there's nowhere to go except for like. Into each other. You got one path and you got people on either end of the spectrum.
One thing I thought was fucking weird. So there's like the guy, I don't know, the conductor, I guess, eventually, because remember they set the fire on the train to get the attention at the station, right?
Yeah.
So like, was the conductor and those like police officers on the train the whole time and they didn't know any of this was going on?
Like,
they
we're not
just,
stopping.
Like, sleeping. Right. They were just sleeping.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
like,
sitting up front. I think they locked the door.
Yeah.
And they, like, they stopped the train a couple of times to let people off or to let people on with, like, the emergency brakes. Like, they didn't notice that either.
I think that's just like, low-level writing. I think that this is an action movie, and that scene's there to be like, oh, yeah, this is what's been going
weird.
On. They're sleeping. Pretty dumb. pretty dumb.
Because like they set the fire, and then the station must have called the train and was like, "Oh shit, there's a fire on your train. So you better go check it out."
I assumed that were killed and somebody was taking it over in the front, but then they showed them.
No, like, that wasn't the case. What? They were just like chilling up there.
They were all with their fucking muskets. Like, what kind of fucking guns, security guns, are those?
You got like bayonets.
A 6 foot long gun with a bayonet on the front of it. No, pistols are silly.
Hey, slow down.
Especially for a train.
You got to navigate it. Load it after one shot. You only get one shot and you got to reload.
I know. Dumb.
Yeah.
Those guys weren't very much used.
I thought that was kind of silly, but like you said, it's probably just an effect of the writing that they didn't know any of this shit was going on their train, apparently, but.
You figured, security would be walking up and down the train, technically, if it's a normal.
Right.
I don't ride on trains very often.
They were just sleeping in the fucking captain's car. I'm like, okay.
Cool. speaking of trains, I've never been on a train long enough to need to sleep. Is that what trains do? They have like these beds like that, like little cots?
Yeah. I mean, it depends how long your train ride is. Okay. This one seemed like it was a long one. I forgot where they said it was. Yeah,
New Delhi?
I think they were going to Delhi or
New
something.
Delhi, I think they were going to.
Yeah. But like every train car had like a fucking bunks and like, seats below. But I've actually never been on a train. Well, not on a passenger train, but I've been on, just like.
That was cool. I always wanted to. Because Amtrak.
Meet Santa at the end or something like that. Like,
yeah, exactly. Those are the ones that I've been on. But yeah, no, I've never been on a passenger train before.
Amtrak still does run in the U.S. those trains with the sleeping carts on them. It's like if you want, like they do. They do certain runs for, like, you start in San Francisco and you go up through the Colorado Rockies and you get off there or something like that. Like, they have, like, certain specific scenic routes where you can rent a room and
cool
you just...
to do when you're, like, retired,
Hang out, play board games, and look out the window.
Yeah.
Fuck it. You got a train
Work
ride.
On Curse of the Golden Idol,
I was going to say, bring your Switch. Bring a charger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Probably dope,
honestly.
That's
like a fun way to go.
That would be sweet. Yep. You know what they should do is have trains and they just have like Dungeons and Dragons people and it's all Dungeons and Dragons people playing, or Magic the Gathering or like Switch tournaments or musicians can go on there.
Yeah, party train.
Just have people just go from state to state, while hanging out with each other and just like rocking out doing those things. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, you stop at like Indianapolis, you pick up a whole new group of players or whatever. Some players get off and, it's just the game train.
The game train.
Yeah, trains are cool. Right, it's a cool plot. No, it's a cool plot. It's just like trains. They're interesting.
Yeah, it's a unique setting, too.
It forces you to be creative. I thought that was a good point, too, because it's like the bad guys are back here, the good guys are up here, and like the camera's got to go and do these different angles and ideas and... I don't know. I think it's like refreshing, but we're suckers for a unique plot. We're like, all right, most of the movie's in this one spot, and then this is where the story happens. So it's usually goes over well with us, anyways.
I was trying to think of my favorite one of the bandits, and I think my favorite one was the big fucking guy, City, I think was his name.
Yeah,
he just kept fucking coming back, and he was like, Amrit was taking out all these other fucking low level guys, and it felt like a video game where he comes up and he's like the heavy, he's like the fucking boss.
Oh yeah,
he's like, oh, here he comes.
You gotta wait for his like, it's turning flashing red. He's gonna do a, unblockable move. I gotta like get out of the way,
dodge out of the way. Well, because he was trying to like block his punches, and he was breaking through his guard every time just because he's a bruiser, but.
He came in with a blindside like kick to Amrit's face or whatever, and you get like the ear ringing. It was a good nice little touch there.
Well, he fought him like three different times too.
Yeah, each time you think they're gonna kill each other, they don't. Even when they're strangling.
And then what finally took the fucking big guy out was those old ladies.
Yeah. And this was really interesting.
What a fucking hammer. Like, that was nasty.
So, waiting for the hammer to be used because it was behind the glass and it's like for emergencies only, a hammer. But
that was an emergency.
So, but what was interesting was, Amrit picks up a couple more people to protect. And there are there no they want to go with him to get vengeance. They want to get in on the fight. Like, our we lost one right. of our sons because we didn't do anything. Yeah. We didn't help you. We need to get involved and help before more die. But there's this dude with like a sweater vest. It's like, I'm not much to look at, but I know what I'm doing. And they're like, okay. So he goes with them. He's actually one of the bad guys. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he came in a
group earlier when they said we escaped the people. Yeah. We want to get back to the train. And they snuck two of the bad guys back into the good part of the train.
Okay.
He was the tech guy. Remember in the beginning where they had the router and the jammer for all the cell phones?
That was him.
That was him.
I totally forgot. Set that up. There's so many characters. Yep. So he's mixed in with them. And when the big guy is about to kill our hero, that guy has the hammer and they said, kill this guy. And he's like, he freezes. And I'm like, oh, he froze. He doesn't want to do it. So the women grab it and then she goes and puts it in the back of that guy's.
Bam.
Head or right in the top of his head, and he's out at that point. But all right, that makes sense because he's one of them, so he couldn't kill his own guy, so he couldn't give it up. So she took it, but then he's just like, oh my god, my cousin just died in front of me, or something like that. You know, so I thought that was pretty cool. I forgot that he was one of them, but he gets killed, he gets killed later on, like when it's all dark, right? Because the movie gets visually darker and darker.
Jumping off the train.
Was he one of the people that jumped?
I don't know. I don't remember how he ended.
I don't know if he... Yeah,
I think they splattered blood on him. He's like, oh.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm not fucking jumping. Which, I mean, what did you expect to happen if you jump out of a fucking...
It's a super train too. It's not like a 35-mile-per-hour train.
Right, it's going like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you're snapping your neck and everybody... If you get any other part of something, you're toast.
Right. What's worse... I guess you're going to die anyways by getting maimed by fucking Amrit coming out.
Yeah,
the
he's
way.
Not killing. Yeah. I saw the last way 9 people died. It's not good.
It's not instant. It's not painless.
Oh, there was one shot that I thought was really cool too. Going back to the bad guys feeling sympathy for them. When the giant guy, what was his name again? The really big guy you were talking about?
Sid He
was trying to look for like whoever his dad or whatever when he's walking.
Yeah, his
there's
dad.
A big yep. spot of blood from somebody, and he's like won't walk on it, and he walks around it. You know, mm-hmm. I thought
it
like
a couple like once or twice in the movie.
Yeah, it's just a nice touch. It's like I can't walk in the blood of my cousin or my brother. You know, like it could be my mm-hmm. dad's blood or something like that. You know, so he's. Kind of be respectful a little bit there, so I thought those things were really nice. That character, I kind of liked him. Like, he's a bad guy, he's trying to kill, but like he also just feels like the big brother to everybody, and he's like the protector right. of them, and he means a lot to them. So, and we saw him cry when he's holding his dad, so I don't know, like I kind of felt for these guys. I wish the story gave us a little more on them.
Same,
but
yeah,
whatever.
It's very, very beginning of Die Hard when they're setting up their stuff and taking over the train or whatever. Cocky. I got that.
Everybody in position.
Everybody got their plans or whatever. Rob this motherfucker.
Right. Yeah. Which I was also a little disappointed that all they were doing was robbing the train. Like, I thought they were planning something bigger. Like,
we're going to blow it up into the capital
right.
or something.
There was
like
something important on the train, like, that they it's were trying to get. Or like, you know, stuff like that. But no, they're like, okay, we're just going to rob this random train. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Steal some wallets and jewelry and be on your way.
I guess it's more about like they sort of were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They didn't know what they were walking into, you know, with these two dudes.
Could you make an American movie of this? And who would you cast to do this?
Chris Pratt.
No, I'm just kidding. No, absolutely not.
Right, Chris Pratt and Keanu Reeves.
It would have to be someone who's jacked, who you can believe that he would be able to pull all this shit off, and who has like a dark side.
Who plays the Witcher and Superman? What's his
Henry Cavill? Yeah. Oh, I could see Henry Cavill.
Get Henry in there. He's a big boy.
That's
too.
Not bad. All right, and who would you get for his side?
I like that.
Who'd be his number two, the sidekick, then?
We got to get somebody with a mustache.
A little bit funnier, a little bit...
Kevin Hart.
More lighthearted. not that funny.
Yeah, like a little...
I'm thinking like a fucking Ryan Gosling or something.
He's too pretty, but...
Yeah, that's too handsome of guys to be commandos. It's got to be an everyday looking kind of guy. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
What about the guy that played Hawkeye?
Jeremy Renner?
Yeah. Throw Renner in there. Give him a mustache. No? He'd be good.
No. Michael B. Jordan. How about that?
Ooh.
I don't want to see Michael
for the
die,
main
though.
Guy. No.
Yeah.
Oh, for the main guy?
For the main character. Yeah.
Yeah, he would be good.
Yeah.
He's jacked enough too.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like the thing I shitted at in this movie is when Talika gets murdered on this, because we're used to Western movies and they don't hey, we're gonna murder the good guy's girlfriend in front of him, on the train. That part,
she proposed to her. Surely she can't die.
Yeah,
right.
She gets even stabbed once in the front.
Do I have to die for you to fall in love with me or something like that? For you to marry me or whatever it was.
And maybe see, I was just how it flips at the end though, because he's gonna have to die to be with her. So
maybe I was just
so the final shot. You're saying?
Hold on, before we talk about that, maybe I was just blinded by, I don't know, maybe I wasn't paying too much attention, but I was not expecting Talika to die. I feel like they telegraphed it pretty well. Like Brandon was saying, they kind of foreshadowed it, but it still was surprising to me. I thought this movie was going to play out differently and I guess more boring. I thought it was just going to be he rescues her in the end and then happily ever after.
Right. The bad guy's going to have her and he's going to kill her.
That's what I thought was going to kidnap her and he's going to have to go rescue her and her family. And then they live happily ever after. But no, I'm not happy that she died, but I'm glad that they went that way.
Right. They took
there was a bit of a twist there.
Halfway into the movie, you rooting for her and she's getting away and they just got to get the sister and all that stuff. And we'll be good to go. And he'll find a way to protect them all anyways. If the dad hadn't died at this point, we're good. But then, she's not only killed, she's slaughtered.
It was brutal, man.
It was pretty, the second stabbing was bad. And I'm all right, maybe she's not coming back. And then she gets the one in the neck and I'm
and then she gets thrown off the train.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that was when the movie started getting more violent with her in the neck and stuff like that. But then our guy does not just kill people. Yes. We were talking about some of those wild kills where he's using things, but for the other people, they're getting killed by being stabbed in the stomach, and he's so angry, he's keeping the knife in their gut and he's pulling it up in them. Or if he stabs them in the neck, he goes all the way till it goes through their mouth. That one guy the mouth.
The guy's got it in the mouth and then he pounds it in further. He kicks it in. As he's beating the shit out of other people.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He goes from killing people to butchering them and letting them feel as much pain before they die. When the villain said, you killed 40 of my family in the most violent way, you're a monster if you think about it.
Right, exactly.
Four people.
That's where I struggle a little bit with this movie because,
what's the message?
Right. Mixed by the end.
It's not a message.
We could talk about the ending because it's a weird tonal shift at the end. Because like you said, he kills Fanny. They have the whole altercation where he says the thing where you killed all your monster, whatever.
Yeah.
He kills Fanny. But then
a nasty one.
At the end, it's sort of like I said, it's a tonal shift because everything's resolved now that all the bad guys are dead. And he gets off the train and it's you're supposed to be rooting for him. But at that point, I'm not. I don't know.
He wiped out an entire family.
He just murdered
of men.
40 people I get he was upset and he was sad about his
an officer or a military
fiance
figure
dying,
understand that you sacrifice the few for the many kind of thing. It's that logic. How many people have to die for this death or something like that? Right. I know you're supposed to root for him because he's bad guys, but like they all didn't do it. They happened to be part of it, but even they were like, "Yo, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here." And then the dad and the son were like, "No, we gotta." Don't you? They needed to kill everybody for different reasons. The one was because it's our family, and like we gotta take over because, you know, we're in this. And the dad's like, "No, we need to kill them because if the tycoon guy gets off this train, we're all good as dead because he's rich and powerful." So like they had different reasons. But
they were conflicting, yeah.
Yes.
I struggle a little bit at the end there, where it's everything was resolved and like he killed everybody and like, okay, cool, yay, now they're all saved, but did he really have to slaughter all those people to do it?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Well, he got stabbed a lot too, so the unresolved part, I guess, is where he's sitting on the bench and he's like,
yeah,
gladiator, you know, having hallucinations of his girlfriend and yada, 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 like, does he just die there? Because in that final fight, he did get stabbed like 6 or 7 times.
I think he dies on that bench because
he has to.
I think he's seeing the image of
come to him.
Right, he's seeing the image of Talika as he's dying. Essentially, like now they can be together,
and nobody wanted to check on him. Like they just walked
right
by.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I thought was weird too.
Yeah,
like all the like official like officers and paramedics and whoever else was there at the end, they were all rushing past him onto the train. Nobody stopped to be like, yo, are you okay?
They'd be like, yeah, you don't need stretchers on the train, because I literally like cut dude's heads off and like fucking the one where the guy's like sitting on the ground and he puts his foot on his head and he snaps his neck forward.
Oh,
and
dude,
you can see like his
see
spine
the bone
coming
popping
out of the back of his
neck.
Oh,
dude, that's right.
I'm like,
dude,
my God.
The news the next day would be like, military hero slaughters 40 men in the
massacre.
Well, how brutal. Right. I heard that when they got there, there are bodies hanging from the ceiling on the train. Like, this is the guy? This is our hero? Like, you'd be like,
right.
There needs to be a movie after this movie if this guy survives. Like, trial? Are you being questioned? Like, what was the limit of self-defense?
It's the same thing.
Do we have an issue
John
with
Wick
military
movies.
Soldiers? Are we this violent? You know?
John Wick beats the shit out of people, and then they kill his puppy, and then he goes on murder rampages, and he kills every single person, even
right.
though they have nothing to do with killing
Uncharted.
His puppy. It's
yep.
fucking
you're,
Theon
you're
Greyjoy.
You're slaughtering.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I was going to
people-
just bring that up.
You're killing so many people in video games. It's crazy.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I mean, you bring up Uncharted. Like, Last of Us does that in an interesting way because they do question, is Joel a fucking monster because he went
right.
in and killed all these people to save Ellie? So that's
right.
that's the kind of
that's
you know
good.
Viewpoint Starting. I'm coming from.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, I don't know if I should be rooting for this guy, man. He's a fucking monster. Like, he is. He just slaughtered all.
He's
those
got
people.
A very special set of skills.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think anybody listening to this and that hasn't seen the movie yet, even though we kind of gave away a lot of the part, but like, if you want to check this movie out, yeah, think about that. Like, is this somebody we should root for? I mean, the story really wants us to. By the time it's about a love mm-hmm. and revenge, and like, yes, we get that, but at what cost? And we've seen that in other things before, like, how many people have to die for you to get what you want, kind of thing. And it's
right,
just like, that's
exactly.
what you want because this bad thing happened to you. But it's like, it actually is like when they say you live long enough, you die a hero or you live long enough to be the villain. Like, if he would have died early on in this movie, a hero just killing a couple people to revenge her,
mm-hmm.
it would have been like a wash. You know, it's violent to say, but like, all right, eye for an eye kind of thing. But he wiped out 40 dudes.
Right. Well, 39. His mustache man got one or two.
You know, but like, because he wanted that woman
yeah.
to be avenged, and
hey,
that's today. Red. That's like the world we're in. It's just like, how many people have to fight for the sins of your fathers? Like, some of these people are born into wars. It's just like, it's going on and on and on. Like, yes, I get it. You blew up a building. You blew up a school. You raped that woman. You tarred that person. Like, I get it. It's all bad on both sides. Blood on both sides. But, like, when does it end? If there's not an end, if you're going to just keep killing each other, like, it's
can't
like what Timmy said in South Park. Like, come on.
Come on.
come on. You know, like, come on.
Yeah, it's true. So, I did appreciate this movie.
Timmy just says, Tim,
no, Jimmy says.
Yeah, Jimmy.
I'm saying Timmy. Yeah. Timmy's the one in
Jimmy, Timmy's in the wheelchair. Jimmy has the crutches.
Oh, Jimmy. Sorry. Yeah. Jimmy's doing this.
They gotcha. Yeah.
Jimmy
they gotcha.
The whole time.
Timmy.
So fucking good, dude. So funny.
Anyway, last thing. I mean, we could wrap up here since we're getting a little long. But last thing I will say, yeah, I do appreciate this movie because, I mean, at its face value, it presents itself as just a straight action movie. So that's sort of what I was expecting. So I'm glad that they put a little bit more into it than just, you know, straight fucking John Wick style action, you know. So like, even though that it's still a little bit messy and unclear about who you're supposed to root for, it at least makes you think a little bit more about it than just
entertaining. We might, I don't know, are we thinking too hard on it? Are we just supposed to be like, I don't look at all this cool stuff?
I think
we are.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they intentionally wanted us to question.
You think so?
To yeah.
Then why did they do some of the things they did?
Question. If they didn't want us to think that,
producers got in the way. No, that's not what people want to see. Get the cute woman at the end and have them sit on the bench.
If they didn't want us to think that, I don't think they would have tried to like humanize these villains. I think they would have just made them faceless fucking bad guys who were just killing for no reason. And I mean, they were killing for no reason, but like, you know, they wouldn't have made them this tight-knit family that was mourning over the loss of each other.
Like the whole time they're crying and mourning.
Yeah, you don't see that in other action movies. Like fucking Grunt number one gets murdered and Grunt number two is not standing over his body crying.
Right, they remember when they did that in Die Hard, the one brother gets killed and he's like, who did it? And that's it. Like, that's it.
Exactly.
He's like instantly mad. He's like, hold on. Patience, stick to the plan.
Right, there's no moment of like, this is my fucking brother and he's dead.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
That's like Carl doesn't cry. Or Carl got killed, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what they wanted. I think that's a mix. I think they wanted to do that, but I also think they did what Dave is like. That's why I think
it's a little messy because they didn't lean enough,
you
know, in one direction.
Well, yeah. That's, I don't know.
But I still enjoyed it.
Yes. Seen an Indian movie that's fairly Western. It was interesting because, you know, we're used to seeing, you know, Bahubali with dance sequences and
just
crazy
the most fucking
stuff.
Movie you've ever
and
seen
kinda,
in your life.
I kind of missed the Bollywood aspect of Indian cinema in this one. Like this, it doesn't fit in this movie, but I kind of missed that aspect of it.
What if he's murdering people? They just start breaking out in song
as he's
slashing people through the stomach.
And he's just moving.
That would have been pretty sick, actually.
And they didn't. I mean,
not gonna lie.
They didn't have like the jailer super slow motion scenes where he's just like standing there with like the wind blowing in his hair. I mean, they had a couple of those when he was
more just like brutal,
just, like standing there, like looking sweet and buff.
And I think they intentionally made it that way so that, you know, you felt the brutality of his actions, you know, and like
it's hard not to.
And like you're not watching it and being like, oh shit. I mean, okay, the action scenes are cool, but you're not like, oh, you just fucked that guy up. That's so awesome. You're thinking like, wow, that's fucked up. Like, you know, he's just slaughtering these dudes.
Yeah,
and they don't die
so
right away.
So gory that it's like squeamish.
Yeah, they take time to die. You know, they'll get hit in the stomach. They might get like whatever happened to them, but like they're still like on the side, like sore, and they might get recruited
like,
later.
Twitching
to go back
and
out,
fucking,
and they're still trying to fight. And yeah. Anywho, go watch it.
I feel like actually so
lives
like,
up to its
like,
name.
If I was gonna recommend an Indian film to somebody, like yes, I start with RRR just for like. All
Can't
the
bo-
the bombacity of it, but something like this, if somebody was like, yeah, I love John Wick movies, I'm like, fucking watch Kill and see an Indian dude be John Wick for a little bit. It's easier to recommend than some. Like, I couldn't recommend Bahubali to some people, but I could recommend this one.
And it, yeah, apparently,
that water scene, Shane, I was done, dude. What? That's an hour into it. What are you talking about? Yeah, I know. Some of those movies are too like romantic and dramatic and slow, but also stupidly epic. This is the beginning like.
Yeah, I don't know. In the beginning of this one, my wife was eye rolling a little bit at like
it was corny. I was like, "What?
They would talk and like the music would come on." But I looked at her dead in the eyes and I said, "This movie has more production value and better acting than all of the Hallmark movies that you watched. Like, show some respect to Indian cinema." Oh yeah. Like, even I don't know. Like, it's definitely has that, like you said, soap opera-y like shine to it. It felt like a little bit like a Hallmark movie in the beginning, but fucking oof. 20 Quickly minutes turns, in, it takes a turn. So
apparently this guy that played Amri Lakshaya, this was his feature film debut.
Oh really?
No
he's
shit.
He's done some like TV work before that, but This was his first feature film. Sure. And I think he fucking blew it out of the water.
He was great. No problem. Was that, if anything, give me a mustache, dude. Give me a mustache.
Dude, yeah, man. We didn't really talk about the acting, but I didn't have a problem with the acting in this movie. Like you said, some of the stuff at the beginning was cheesy, but like I think overall
it's the contrast to the rest of the movie, which is brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Fonny was great. That guy's in such a smarmy asshole of a
evil villain.
Good villain. But apparently this movie didn't do that well. We didn't really
think they made $6 million
the budget. Yeah, cost $400 million rupees, Indian rupees, to make, which is about $4.6 million US dollars.
Okay.
And wow, it only made at the box office, 470 million rupees, which is about 5.2 million US dollars.
Yeah. So that made up sort of their marketing.
A small success. Yeah.
Yeah.
After he's put in all the marketing and stuff, probably not.
But yeah, I think this movie deserves some recognition. Just for the fact that it is an action movie, but it's trying to do something a little bit different. And, there's varying levels of success with everything it tries to do, but it's a fun watch overall.
Yeah. Thank you for the recommendation, Discord.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Bring some more.
NomadsOfFantasy.com/Discord. We have a suggestions channel in our Discord that we always welcome any, game, movie, TV show suggestions. So keep them coming. But,
sweet. Bring it.
We'll wrap up here with talking about Kill. And after the break, a little break here, we'll come back with a little round of, it's a new game. It's called Movie Train Trivia. So
can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be right after.
Got my eyes trained on you.
It's good. More of that right after this. And we are back after a little bricky break. I got a new game called Movie Train Trivia. And this is, these are going to be, it's going to be 5 multiple choice questions. I do have a tiebreaker in case you guys end up, tying, whatever. And if you tie after the tiebreaker, then just call it a tie. But anyways, this is Movie Train Trivia. There's going to be 5 questions. And they are all multiple choice questions about movies featuring trains. Okay.
Okay.
So we're on theme here.
We're on track.
yes, we are on track, for the train theme here. But like I said, it's going to be super simple, quick 5 questions. Whoever gets the most questions right, wins.
Okay.
And obviously, like, you guys can pick the same answer and get it both right. And then, it, you know, if you end up tying, we'll do, go to a tiebreaker. But
okay,
I guess we'll pick who go. I guess we'll pick who goes first. Number between one
five.
And ten. I didn't even pick the number yet. All right, you still sticking with five?
Six.
It was seven.
Yeah. Oh, Dave. Blast you, Dave.
Dave, you get to answer. You get to answer first. Yeah. So you're both going to answer the same questions. Like I said, if you pick the same answer, that's fine. But you are competing against each other.
Okay.
All right. Question number one. In the movie Murder on the Orient Express, 2017, who plays the famous detective Hercule Poirot? I don't know how to say that. P-O-I-R-O-T. I think it's Poirot.
Poirot.
Is it A, Johnny Depp? Is it B, Kenneth Branagh? Is it B or C, Brad Pitt? Or D, Daniel Craig? Have either of you seen this film?
No.
No, but I've seen the thumbnail a million times on Amazon Prime.
I remember seeing the the
Wonder Woman's in this.
And looking, yeah. Yes, yes. Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot?
I remember wanting to see this, but I never actually saw it.
I figured if Depp or Pitt were in it, I would have heard more about it. Because I don't really know much about it. Who is B, Browning?
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh. I think it's Branagh. It must be Branagh. It's B-R-A-N-A-G-H.
What was he in? Any idea?
That's a good question.
What does he look like? I don't want to Google his name because it might tell me.
He was in this movie.
I want to say all of the people I listed are in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're just trying to find out who is the detective Hercule Poirot.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's different because I didn't think three of these guys are in the movie.
Yeah, I only know who that one was in it.
All right. He sounds French. Fuck it. We're going to go with, I'll go with A, Johnny Depp. Seems like he'd make a good French guy.
All right.
I'm going to go with B, whoever Bernard was.
Brandon, you would be correct. It was Kenneth Branagh.
I was thinking about that too.
Apparently, he also directed the movie as well, but he starred and directed in.
And
Murder
now,
on the Orient
in this
Express.
Scene, Gal Gadot and I have a sex scene, and I'm going to film it and be in it. All right. So,
Daisy
Tarantino film.
Judy Dench, Johnny Depp, Daisy Ridley, Michelle Pfeiffer, Penelope Cruz.
Are all in this movie?
Josh Gad, they're all.
And this is the scene when I have the third orgy in the movie, everybody. All right, get in places. Like, could you imagine directing your own movie you started?
Writing and directing,
Jesus, it's Christmas.
Like
how do you not just do that?
Dusk Till Dawn.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hit Selma Hayek's going to put her foot in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, what a lucky accident that is.
Yeah, I know. I think people have called him out for that, too. Like, you put that scene in there for you to do. And I'm like, man, what a slime ball. Good
he's
movie,
probably
so.
Still cranking it to that to this day.
Oh, yeah.
He's big in the feet.
For sure. All right, question number two. Brandon
it's
is
the thing.
Up.
It's in the movies. That's why all the women had their feet close up to the camera, because he's going to whack off to it.
It's a well-known fact that, Tarantino.
Sorry. Anywho.
Brandon's up 1-0. Next question, question number two. In The Polar Express, 2004, what magical object does the boy receive at the end of the movie? A golden ticket, a bell from Santa's sleigh, a snow globe, or a toy train?
Oh, cute. I don't know. Snow globe? I've not made it. I don't like this movie. This is a Zemeckis movie. I hate it.
Yeah,
every time
and
I
it's
watch
with
it,
the weird
like the
Tom Hanks motion capture.
Animation in it. It's boring. Yeah. The kids are boring.
This was revolutionary back in the day. It's like the one of the first like movies they used like full motion capture for. Like
it's
first animated.
Well.
Yeah.
That was an annoying kid in it. That kid always bothered me.
Yeah.
You said snow globe, Brandon?
I went snow globe. Is that a shot in the
I know he gets a ticket in the beginning.
Yep.
I think he steals a bell like in the middle of it. I'm going to go with, this is kind of lame, but I think it's a snow globe too. I'm going to go with snow globe.
It's either the snow globe or the...
You both You both went with C, Snow Globe?
Yeah.
Well, you're both wrong.
Is it Belle?
It is a Belle from Santa's Sleigh.
Fuck.
You've never read the book either? Never read the book? I didn't even know there was a book. Yeah, it's based on a book.
I know it's based on... No, I'm not into it.
Yeah. The whole thing is like... Santa gives him a bell at the end, and only those who like truly believe in Santa can hear the bell. So like he hears it, and then like he brings it home to his parents, and then like, you know, they can't hear anything. So like whatever. It's lame. Okay. I don't love the Polar Express, but I thought you guys would know that having children.
You love it so much once you marry it.
No. No. Christmas is like Home Alone and stuff like that. Like the
yeah,
Grinch.
I mean, I don't like the movie.
Polar Express.
I don't like
my
the
kids
movie.
Kids want to go to bed?
I'm probably this more, I probably am more familiar with it because I want to say the book came out when like I was a kid or around that time. So
yeah, and you were at the age when it was new. And yeah.
Right. I remember them reading it to us like in school. And we even took a field, well, I didn't, I missed out on this, but took a field trip to the IMAX theater to see the Polar Express.
Wow, you must have been. Wow, this looks really good.
But I didn't get to go. Which
oh,
was
that's right,
bullshit,
you didn't get to go.
But,
yeah,
but yeah, this the was when I was like were. In fourth grade, yeah, like 2004. Anyways, damn. Question number three. In Unstoppable, 2010, Denzel Washington and Chris Pine must stop a runaway train. What type of cargo does the train carry? Chemicals, military weapons, oil, or explosives?
What was the number one?
Chemicals.
What year did this come out?
2010.
People are worried about chemicals, Dave. What do you think? I'm going chemicals.
Denzel Washington and Chris Pine.
Or weapons. Weapons of mass destruction.
I don't remember hearing about this movie, but I do like Denzel and Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Both. So
yeah, I've never heard of this
movie.
Seems
like it would be a good one.
This movie I want to actually watch because it sounds sweet.
I'm going to go with the classic, Explosives, because, ooh, I mean, good. That seems like your standard stop the train before it gets here and blows everybody up at the train station.
That thing. Sounds like a 90s plot to me, though. I feel like in the 90s, yeah. There's explosives and they're going to South Detroit. You know, this is like the 2010s. There's like, they've got chemicals, biological warfare. They could release this to the public. You know, like...
T-virus. Mm-hmm.
That's my reasoning. Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking... Well, Eric, right. What is it?
Final answers?
Final yep. answer.
Yeah. Dave, you want explosives? Brandon, chemicals? It is A, chemicals. Brandon's
oh, come
up.
On.
Yeah,
Brandon's see? Up 2-0.
Damn it.
It's based on a real-life CSX incident telling the story of a runaway freight train and two men who attempt to stop it.
Oh, it's based on a true story?
Based on a true
and is
story,
it
yeah.
Drama
it's
or
just some
action?
Chemicals. What can go wrong? It's a couple chemicals.
Apparently, it was like some super deadly toxic chemical that if it spilled, it would like, you know, it would have ruined, I don't know, like if it spilled into the water...
okay.
Been bad. Very
watch
bad.
The beginning of it and let us know if it's of quality and if it's worth
dude, it's
doing
it sounds
fun. Denzel
and
only he's
I do
always
love
a good actor. Yeah, he's always yep. a good actor in everything he does. So
all right. Brandon's up 2-0. Question number 4. In Trainspotting, 1996, what city does the story primarily take place in? London, Edinburgh, Glasgow, or Dublin?
Glasgow, or what was the last one?
Dublin.
I know Dave's a big train spotting guy.
I do. I do want to make you guys watch these movies. I still haven't seen the second one, which I'm kind of disappointed in myself for having not done that. But I don't know. I love the message of this movie. Yes, it's fucked up. It's about druggies, but
the question is, do you know what city
quality.
It takes place in?
I'm going to say Edinburgh.
All right. Brandon, what say you?
Where is Edinburgh?
It's in Europe.
In England, I think, yeah.
England? I thought this was Sun Scottish. Earth. So, Glasgow?
Oh, no. I'm so wrong. It's the capital of Scotland. Edinburgh
okay, then
is.
I'm going with Edinburgh because Dave likes this movie and I'm going to trust him.
Edinburgh. that's a good tactic.
That's why I asked. Because
you're both right.
I knew it was Scotland because it's written with a Scottish accent, so it's even hard to read. I tried my buddy was reading, dude, have you read this book? And I'm like this is fucking brutal. I'm like, wow, this is a whole book like this
shit.
Like, yeah, you have to read it phonetically. I read the book too.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah, you got to read like a Scot.
Sounds like torture. I'd rather listen to sound it out
when you're reading this book.
Yeah,
damn.
All right.
Well, Brandon technically wins here, but
3-1. Yeah. Technically, yes.
Cheating off of my
there's no
cheat.
Way to catch up. But we'll do the final two just because quick and fun. In Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, what is the main conflict on the train in the movie? A treasure hunt gone wrong, a Nazi ambush, a race to steal a rare artifact, or a spy mission?
A.
What was A?
Brandon says A. A treasure hunt gone wrong.
Yeah, it's A.
It's A?
I can picture the whole sequence in my head.
According to my sources, it is C. A race to steal a rare artifact. Indy, sure, played by River Phoenix, discovers a group of grave robbers who found the cross of Coronado. Indy believes the artifact belongs in a museum and attempts to take it from them.
Eric,
I just thought that they were treasure hunters, and that's what got him to be treasure hunter. Because what they were willing to do, they were willing to kill. They tried killing Kid Indiana Jones on the top of that
spoil. Tree. No spoilies.
Yeah, kid busts out a fucking knife and he starts like swinging it at him, trying to kill him.
It's like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Every Indiana Jones starts off with an action pack opener.
I
started watching Raiders, just threw it on one night because I was in an indie mood and I was enjoying it, but I fell asleep very quickly. I definitely want to.
All right. Well, that sucks that we got that wrong, but anywho, I can see how
it's fine. It was a weirdly worded question.
I didn't know there, it was a race to get. So I didn't know there was a race to get it though. They were just like, they found it and he said, that's bullshit. They shouldn't.
He was trying to steal it back. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Last one, which this movie sounds sweet too. I've never heard of it, but in Source Code 2011, which actor portrays Captain Coulter Stevens, who repeatedly experiences the same train explosion as part of a military
experiment? I'll tell you right now. Dave, have you seen this movie?
You've seen this one, Brandon?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Is it good? Because the plot makes me want to see it. Just the premise.
Yeah, it's good. It's he's the dude from
without reading the choices, you know this one?
Yeah. It's he was in Donnie Darko. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes, it is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, the choices were sci-fi movie.
The choices were Ryan Gosling, Michael Fassbender, Jake Gyllenhaal, or Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, you've watched Live, Die, Repeat or whatever, that Tom Cruise movie where he keeps repeating.
I love that movie. It's a great movie.
Yeah, if you like that, then you would like this train because it's the same thing. There's something on the train that's causing a repeat. He's the only one that
That's cool.
So it's happening to him. Premise. So he has to solve it. And it has an ending to it that's just like, what the fuck? So, kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That might be a good movie, honestly, if I think looking back on it. Maybe it's a good one to do on the episode.
Source Code.
It's a good sci-fi. Yeah. Yep.
That one sounded cool.
Yep.
There should be more movies about trains. There was a question that I had that was like, in the movie Snowpiercer, what was the name of the train? Snowpiercer,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they're on. That's weird because it's the world's gone completely cold and frozen, and all of humanity is stuck on a train or on trains, but this one train, the elite rich are in the front and all the poor people are in the back.
Right.
But it's more artistic. When you watch, it's more artistic because it makes not a damn sense. It's really kind of stupid when you try to logically.
I've heard the show is pretty good. There's
the show is pretty good.
I saw a little bit of the show and it was pretty decent.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be, I mean, they had to kind of get a lot of that in a 2-hour movie.
The premise is really cool. I like the premise a lot. you know, post-apocalyptic frozen wasteland. Everybody who survived lives on this fucking never.
Yeah, it's a cool concept.
Train that never stops. Yeah.
There's a scene where like somebody gets like banished, and like what they do to banish somebody is they stick their head out the window and they freeze to death.
Fucked.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm surprised you didn't put Bullet Train on this. Did you guys see that movie, the Brad Pitt movie?
I have not.
No,
seen
I do want to see that.
It's fun. It's just a fun movie. Have a couple beers and
I
watch.
Thought about that one. And
not
also Train to Busan also I've heard.
I want to watch that. It's supposed to be really good with the zombies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a couple movies with trains like Under Siege 2 train movie. Remember?
No. Never heard.
That's a good one.
No.
Under Siege.
Steven Seagal, baby.
Seagal, yeah.
Steven Seagal on a train. Oh, yep. God. Yep. Yeah, I think there's something else nuts. I'm thinking of that was there, but anywho, we can wrap it up. Yeah, that was cool. Trains.
Trains are cool, man.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah. Ride more trains.
Yeah. Killing? Not cool.
Well,
train
there's
are cool.
I feel like there is a subgenre here of like movies on trains, bad shit, movies, people trapped on trains, and also in a similar vein, planes. You know, movies about planes and being trapped on a plane and
ooh,
shit's going down on a plane.
I like that theme. That'd be cool to have, like...
There's lots
of then on
of
our website, movies. We can... Because our website's designed to be like Netflix. So there's categories. So we could have one. Train movies. And yeah, if you get enough of them, keep an eye out for that. That's,
yep.
Be cool.
There you go. But yeah, we'll wrap it up here. That was a fun conversation. Definitely recommend, you know, if you're interested at all. If you like action movies, I think you'll like Kill.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But... if you want to, you know, if you want to follow us on what we're going to be doing next, which I believe is, we said it was going to be a catch up. And then after that, it is Indiana Jones and the Great
the Video Game. And it's great. It deserves its own episode.
I'm excited to finish that. I gotta get on that. So next week is going to be my time to finish that baby up. But I'm excited to talk about that one because I think there's a lot to talk about, and I'm going to be in a very Indiana Jones movie. Maybe I'll even watch The Last Crusade before we talk about it.
I'm a little jelly.
I know. I'm definitely in an indie mood with whenever
really
I play that
movie.
Game.
And so. That, yeah, you're going to love that game. I would love that movie.
Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about some indie, but... in the meantime, you can follow us in all of our shenanigans. Just go to thenomadsoffantasy.com to find all of our links there. Whatmapgame.com, that's still going. If you want, you know, daily game, guest and video game maps. nomadsoffantasy.com/discord, of course, is the best place to find us and get in touch with us. Give us movie suggestions. Just shoot the shit about games, movies, whatever you want. The Bills losing in the AFC Championship game. No, we don't have to talk about that. We'll just, but anyways, I don't know. I don't know. I blanked out on the outro, but until
next
time.
Safe travels, nomads.
Thank you.